Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cancer Awareness Month. We have Dr. Samira Yamyolia back again to talk to us about some of the cancers that affect children. Today, she's here to talk about ALL, something she's been helping me to pronounce over the past few minutes. ALL is acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and it's also common in children, and today she's here to share some more education on it. Doc, good to have you back.
Good to be here with you again, Kujer.
I hope I got the name right. ALL, acute lymphoblastic.
You did well. You've done well, yes. Perfect.
I've been telling Prof. Akapo and the other doctors that this month you've taken me back to the science class. A lot of biology, a lot of anatomy, and a lot of biochemistry, but it's all good. It's all good. We are learning a lot from you.
Yes. Okay.
So, Doc, tell me about ALL.
So, ALL is a type of leukemia in children. Leukemias in general, so leukemias are cancers of the blood. And in children, ALL is the commonest type. That's acute lymphoblastic leukemia. We also have the acute myeloid leukemia, but today's discussion is going to be mainly on the ALL. And it is actually the commonest type of cancer we see in children. It's one of is a commonness that we see in children worldwide, and it's the same in Ghana. So to talk about leukemia, I have to talk about blood, because blood is made up of different types of cells. I'm sure most of us would have done the full blood count before, because when you go to the hospital, that's like the basic lab that is done. White blood cells are supposed to be like they are like the soldiers in the blood. When you get an infection, it's the white blood cells that come into play to come and fight off the infection. And the white blood cells, we have lymphocytes, we have monocytes, we have neutrophils. And all these cells, all these types of cells in there help to fight off infections. Then we have what we call platelets. Platelets help with blood clotting, so that when you have any cut or anything, only small bruising, you will not bleed excessively when you have a good number of platelets. So leukemia, the type ALL, usually affects your white blood cells, and it's predominantly the lymphocytes. Okay? That is essentially what ALL is.
So if it affects your white blood cells, what does it do to your body?
Okay. So what happens is that the bone marrow is producing abnormally high amount of immature white blood cells, which you call lymphoblasts. And then it shows as having a very high white blood cell count when you do a full blood count.
Is this not supposed to be good? Because if you have more white blood cells, it means you can fight diseases, right?
Now, these white cells are not mature, and so they are not functioning as they should.
Okay.
They are very large, and they are immature white cells, and they are not functioning as they should. And these cells, as they are being produced in very high quantities, they are also now affecting all your other blood lines. So it will now affect your platelets. You will have very low platelets. Even your ability to produce your hemoglobin and all that will now be impaired. And so you end up having a very large number of white cells, which are not even functional, and they are not even the normal white blood cells. And then you are not producing enough hemoglobin, and you're not producing enough platelets. That is what leukemia is. That's what ALL is. That's what you get in your blood when you have a leukemia.
So when you hear of cancer, usually we think of solid tumors in an organ, right? But this time with ALL, it's attacking your white blood cells and making them not form completely. So it's like you're going to war with an untrained soldier. That becomes a liability, because you have a lot of untrained soldiers, but you have to house them, you have to feed them, you have to give them the logistics. So it puts a strain on the body. Is that how it is? Have I explained it well?
Well, it's close. It's close, yes. So you have yours, and then the soldiers that you have are also, yeah, you said unqualified soldiers, yes. I think, yes, it does make sense. People would understand it that way. Yeah, so that's what leukemia is. And go on. You're going to ask a question.
Yes, I was going to ask how this type of leukemia differs from the other types.
Okay. So there is myeloid leukemia, which is from, it's also from the white cells, but it's from a different line. They also produce abnormally high number of myeloid cells in the blood. The diseases are similar, but the presentations are similar, but they are not the same disease entity. And myeloid leukemia is not as common as acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And the treatment for acute myeloid leukemia is also quite more intense, and it's a bit different from acute lymphoblastic leukemia.
I see. But they all affect children, or one affects adults and one affects children?
They both affect children.
Now, let's look at the symptoms.
So, symptoms of ALL are usually, sometimes in the beginning, it's really nonspecific. One is fever. You remember in the previous session when I was talking about signs of cancer, I talked about unexplained fever.
Yes.
So, they have fever for a prolonged period of time. Fever that is not responding to any treatments. It's not responding to any antibiotics. It's not responding to a malaria treatment. Fever is one of them. Then they can bleed. You know, I mentioned your platelets being responsible for clotting, for blood clotting. So
yes.
So then can have unprovoked bleeding. They can start bleeding from the gums. They can even start bleeding from, they will have bleeding in their urine. And they'll have bleeding in their mouth and even under the skin. So you will notice some small reddish spots under the skin, indicating that they are bleeding under the skin. Then they can also have bone pain. So pain in any part of the body they can have. It's not specific. Today is the hip. Tomorrow is the leg. And the next time is the chest. They have bone pain anywhere. And that pain keeps changing. Okay. And then you notice that some of them will become very pale. We've actually had children present that way because the parents will get stuff money and realize that the child looks so white. That's because they do not, their hemoglobin level has gone so low. They look very pale. Then they can have lymph nodes. Lymph nodes are swellings that you can find sometimes behind your ear, under the chin, and then in the neck region, and then also in the armpits and in the groin area. Then they can also have enlarged spleen, and then it's the enlarged spleen or liver. So you'll notice that those children, their abdomens will start getting bigger. And the mother will be wondering why the tummy is getting big. So these are some of the signs of ALL. And you've noticed that these things can occur with other diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So sometimes it's not very specific.
I'm thinking about my sons and how they play around the house in the garden and get a lot of cuts here and there. So, in this case, children play a lot, they get injured and they get cuts. And if they suffer from this, their wounds do not heal. So it means they continuously bleed.
So yes, so leukemia can let you bleed. So you know, a child has hit the head, a small cut. When it bleeds, it should stop. It should stop after a few minutes. But this bleeding, when you notice that this bleeding is being excessive and it's not even stopping, sometimes you would realize that the degree of bleeding doesn't even match the type of injury the child has. Okay. And then like with other conditions, you notice that it is not directly specific. It's not just leukemia that will let you bleed like that. Yeah, other things that can let you bleed like that. So it's important to have any of those signs evaluated to be sure that it's not a leukemia.
Mm. So this is cancer, which is in the blood. How is it diagnosed?
So diagnosis is by, you can use what we call a blood film comment. So a blood that is just drawn, just like you go to the lab and then you take blood and then it will be looked at under the microscope to see the type of cells that are present. Then there is a bone marrow aspirate. So the bone marrow is where your blood is produced. So for those who don't know, you know when you slaughter an animal, in the bone you find that reddish thing in there that a lot of people like. That is actually the bone marrow. That's a factory of the blood. So those cells in there can be taken out. We usually use just a needle into the bone and then we take out some blood and then it goes into the lab for assessment. So in the lab, they can do a bone marrow comment where they look at it under the microscope. And then there are further studies that can be done on the bone marrow to ascertain the type of leukemia it is. And then also, there's something else that we call the cytogenetics of the disease. So you can do a bone marrow aspirate where you look at the type of cells, and then you do what we call a flow cytometry and then cytogenetics to all help to diagnose a full diagnosis of the type of leukemia that the child has.
I see. But is this hereditary?
Leukemia is not hereditary. It's usually sporadic. We just notice it happens. Like most childhood cancers, an exact cause is not known. It just happens sporadically.
You know, in the current fight against illegal mining, a lot of things have been said about the water we drink, the pollution by heavy metals, and all those things being some of the reasons why we are seeing a lot of these happening. But you've said that it's not hereditary, but are there environmental factors that make it risky for a pregnant woman to fear for their child?
So for risk factors of leukemia, we know high levels of radiation, ionizing radiation. We've never been hit by an atomic bomb or anything here to have high levels of radiation. It's also known that the heavy metals have, risk factors for they are risk factors for developing cancers. It's known. But in Ghana, we haven't really done the studies directly to link it with leukemia, but they are known to the risk factors for developing leukemia.
First time I heard of leukemia was about 15, 20 years ago. There was a gentleman who was seeking public support to treat leukemia. And I remember what they said then was that they are going to get a bone marrow transplant. And it stuck with me since then. And so whenever I hear of leukemia, I think about bone marrow transplant as a treatment for leukemia. Is that the only form of treatment? What types of treatments or how do you treat ALL in children?
So ALL, the mainstay of treatment is chemotherapy. And I'll say that treatment has really advanced globally. There is chemotherapy. Even now, we have what we call targeted therapies. And then there is bone marrow transplants. And then there are even more fancy treatments like CAR T-cell that are available in other parts of the country. But currently in Ghana, we are only doing chemotherapy.
So if you want any other form of treatment for leukemia and you're a patient in Ghana, it means you have to go outside the country.
So It's not every child that needs a transplant. When a child is diagnosed any part of the world, you want to know the type of cancer it is. Like I mentioned, that we'll do what we call cytogenetics and flow cytometry, helped us to know the type of cancer it is and even how some of these cancers tend to behave. I wouldn't go into the details of knowing the different cytogenetic features and all that. But most of these cancers, we would respond to intensive chemotherapy, which we have available here. Now, there are certain types of cancers that we know that chemotherapy alone will not be able to cure. So it will usually be chemotherapy so that the child gets into remission, which is followed by transplant. So usually we start with that and then we prepare the patient, we get the patients to prepare to travel outside when we know that they need a transplant. Sometimes when the disease goes into what we call remission, remission means that we've gotten the disease to go to a very low level in the blood, and then somehow they relapse and all that. Then at that stage, we know that you would have to step up to the next line of treatment, which can be stem cell transplant. So it is not the first line of treatment for leukemia, but when the patient needs it, and then we go ahead to refer.
But in your practice, what have been the cure rates, if that's the right word to use, when you detected early? How long, on average, does it take you to cure someone?
So treatment of leukemia takes up to about 3 years in children. It takes up to 3 years, yes, to completely treat. Usually the first year is more intensive chemotherapy. Then after that, we have a period of maintenance chemotherapy where they just come in once a month for the treatments. And then we do that in cycles until they fully complete. So usually the intensive part is the first year of treatment. And then the remaining part is for maintenance chemotherapy. Yeah, it is a long treatment and it is expensive.
Are the side effects of chemotherapy in children the same as the side effects in adults?
They are the same. They are the same. The hair loss, the I know you've spoken about it in your previous sessions. That's why I do not really.
Yes. But I want you to mention them again. It's likely there are people who just are tuning in for the first time for our cancer conversations. So what are the side effects? How do you manage them?
Okay, so there is hair loss, which is the first one that everybody readily sees. But that hair loss is not permanent. Usually, by the time they get to the maintenance phase of treatment that I talked about, usually the hair starts to grow back. Then there is the nausea and vomiting. And so we know it will happen and it's very uncomfortable. Even for adults, it's very uncomfortable. So you can imagine how it is in children. We don't wait for it to occur. We usually give them antiemetics, that's drugs to prevent vomiting, before we even give chemotherapy that we know would induce vomiting. Then there is also the reduction in their immune system, immunity. And so they can easily fall sick. They can get very severe infections, even from things that should not cause severe illness in a normally healthy person. So usually when they're on treatment, we let them stay out of school for that period because we don't want them to be picking up a lot of infections while they're at school. But when the treatment is over, they go back to school. Even during the maintenance phase of treatment for AL, after they've done some few months of maintenance, they are able to go back to school because at that time, the treatment is not as intensive as the early stages. The other things would be some of them would experience darkening in their palms, just not feeling like eating, you know. There will be some anorexia. They don't feel like eating and all that. They have an unpleasant taste in their mouth. Those are the commonest side effects of chemotherapy.
It's sad that some children have to suffer from this, but I'm wondering, whilst you give them the medical treatment, because you said that it sometimes takes about 3 years and the initial stages is quite intensive, right? Do our facilities have spaces where children who are missing school can catch up? Do we make arrangements for that? Or that's not part of the medical system's plans, and that must be something that parents and families have to think about?
So in the treatment centers, well, these ones are not fully funded by government. We have NGOs that come in to support. We have them in the different hospitals have different forms of support. For example, in Kolebu, we have an NGO that has actually helped to set up a hostel because we have patients coming from all over the country. So imagine you are coming from Wa, you're coming from Ho, you're coming from Axim. And then you come to Accra, you don't have a place to live. There is a hostel facility available for those who come from far away. Then they also help them with meals. And then they actually have teachers who come in to teach the children on the ward. So we get some support from donors. Sometimes we get books. Some of them give them games that they're able to play and all that. So during the treatment, they get to at least learn. And then they're able to keep up until they're able to go back to school. And all these things are being done by NGOs who are just supporting.
This is really nice to hear. And we need to find some of these NGOs and support them ourselves, you know, put some money in their account so that they can continue to support children to go through this phase of their life. So definitely the children get help. And after their treatment, they get to return to normal lives.
Normal life, yes.
Wow, this is good to know. Anyway, Dr. Samira Ifeoluwa, I should pass by, yeah?
Yes, you should pass by.
I have been on a few walks and fundraising events with one NGO, Lifeline for Childhood Cancer.
Yes.
Equia Saponaf. She's organized a few events that I have contributed to, but I've never been to the facility at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital. So I'll try to come and see how things are going and how we can all support. Yes, we'll do that.
Lifeline is doing a good job with the patient, not just this hostel, but it's even helping with doing some investigations, CT scans and all that for the children.
So, Doc, to recap, what is ALL? What can we all do to detect it early and prevent it? And what message of hope do you have for all of us? I put three questions in one, forgive me.
So, ALL is a leukemia, blood cancer that happens in children. It can occur at all ages. And the commonest signs are, I mentioned being pale, fever, persistent fever, bone pain, swollen lymph nodes, enlarged liver and spleen, which is, shows us an extended abdomen in children. And the good news is that it is curable. It is curable. And then there is help available, and you should seek help early when you notice any of these signs in your children.
Dr. Samira Yamyolia, it's been great talking to you over the past 2 days about childhood cancers. And thank you for the invitation extended to us to come to the hospital. We really want to come and see how you, your team, and the Kolebu Teaching Hospital really works to cure children who have cancers in our country. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Cancer Awareness Month. See you very soon in the hospital, Doc.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to meeting you there.
My name is Kojo Akoto Boateng. This has been the Cancer Awareness Month conversation with Dr. Samira Yamyolia. Hopefully on Friday, we'll bring some cancer survivors to the studio, some of the childhood cancer survivors to the studio to share their experiences with us so that we will learn more about childhood cancers and fight them together. Thank you so much for listening. The Super Morning Show continues. Stay with us.